Welcome to Overflow. For those of you who have not been here for the past 2 weeks, my name is Chase Jackson. I was on the houseboat trip if you were a junior hire. Hopefully you remember who I am because I was out there keeping you safe every day as the lifeguard. But I came to Overflow for many years, and luckily this summer, Chad and Trevor and everyone has given me just the beautiful opportunity to be able to come back and speak to you all on a series that I like to call Dunamis. For the third time, can everyone say Dunamis with me? Dunamis. So, Dunamis in Greek means power, and this Dunamis power that we've been talking about over the past couple weeks and we'll continue to talk about in the future is a power that is so amazing and powerful that only the Holy Spirit possesses it. This Dunamis power is something that's epic and awesome and something that we have been talking about. And so we have been using icons to go through the series. As you guys can see it on stage, the far left one was the first one we went through. It was the wind icon, and that was the first week we spoke about how the Holy Spirit is comforting yet powerful. Just like the wind, we do not see the wind all the time, but we know it's there. You feel it, and you can see its effects. And in the same way, the Holy Spirit, you don't see him all the time, but you can see his effects so clearly in people's lives. The wind can be comforting like a gentle breeze or powerful like a tornado. And that's something that we dove into. Second week, our icon is water. And we spoke about how water is essential to life. Something that I talked about, I learned in like middle school, was that we can only live 3 days without water. But even within a few hours without water, especially for those of you who went to junior high beach day on Friday, who've been to the beach, have been in the sun at all this summer, you know that without water and just living your daily life, you start to even feel those effects right away. Within 3 days, it doesn't look so good. But today, we are going to go deeper into the dove. Okay, this is not an element like wind and water, but I feel like the dove is something that's very good and something that embodies the Spirit in very many ways. But specifically, I'm going to talk about how in Scripture, the Holy Spirit is referred to as a dove. And so before we actually dive into the Bible, I also want to talk about how this is our halfway point in the series. It is a 5-week series, and this is week 3. And so I just want to catch you guys up to speed on what this series is meant to do, in case we might have forgot. I did talk about it on the first week, but it is meant to start conversations. Some of you might walk out of these sermons being like, dude, Chase is crazy. And what is the Holy Spirit? And I still have so many questions, but that is why we're here. Today we are going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Holy Spirit, and fruits of the Spirit. And if you walk away saying, fruits of the Spirit, I don't know if I have any of those. I don't know what gifts of the Spirit are. I'm still confused. Talk about it. Feel free to talk to anyone in this room, even talk to your peers, people who you listen to the series with, because the more we talk about things like this, the more we can pursue the Holy Spirit and pursue God and find these answers that we are so looking for. And even if we're not finding these answers exactly the way we want to see them, the pursuit of God only brings you closer to each other and to the Lord. So before I go in, let's pray real quick. Dear God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for just opening up the stage and giving me the opportunity to just share your word. I pray that, Holy Spirit, you move through me, and it is not me speaking, but you speaking through me, Lord. Please use the thoughts of my mind, the spirit of my heart, and just the words from my mouth for your glory, God. Thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for the World Cup and allowing us just to have fun before service as well. And yeah, we love you, Lord, and in your name we pray. Amen. So, if you all will open up your Bibles with me to Matthew 3, 13 through 17. And we will start speaking about the Holy Spirit as a dove. And if you do not have a Bible, it would be awesome if you could like raise your hand real quick, because we are going to be in the Word a lot today. And if people in the back, you can pass out. Oh, we're missing a lot of Bibles. This is a good day to have your Bibles, guys. So this is good thing I asked today. Wow. So while they are handing out Bibles, I will give you guys just a brief precursor as to what's going on in Scripture right now. So this is the book of Matthew. in Matthew is a part of what we call the Gospels. And the Gospels are the narrative of Jesus and his ministry and what he was doing. And so Matthew 3 is actually before Jesus' ministry officially began. Before he became internationally recognized superstar, just kidding. But before Jesus started embarking on this crazy journey, well, I guess his whole life was a crazy journey, but before it was officially begun, he found his disciples, he had his posse, he was ready to go. This happened. There was a man named John the Baptist that was walking around. Some of you may have heard of John the Baptist before, but basically he was baptizing people, but saying, I'm baptizing you in the name of the Lord, but someone else is coming. Someone else will be here. And he was almost preparing people for Jesus's arrival. He was telling people, I'm baptizing you and I am here and this is great, but I'm preparing you for someone and something so much greater that will come. And so if you guys will turn with me to Matthew 3, 13 through 17, and I will read it right there. In my NIV Bible, it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. That is John the Baptist. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. So this is why it is Dove Week. Because we literally have an example in the Bible of what it says, the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove. Now, the reason why I want to use this dove analogy and talk about the Holy Spirit being a dove is because the Holy Spirit gives us gifts from heaven. Just like in this example, we see the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that every time you have a gift, the Holy Spirit floats down from heaven and just presents it to you and goes like, here is your gift. But the Holy Spirit does give us heavenly gifts, gifts that are divine and gifts that are amazing. They're gifts. They're things that we don't deserve, but the Holy Spirit still gives them to us. And so I want to talk about these gifts this week. And by these gifts, I have two main themes of gifts that I want to talk about that are alluded to in the Bible and talked so much about in the New Testament. And these are the gifts of the Spirit, which some of you may have heard of, but they're also known as spiritual gifts, but also the fruits of the Spirit. I know fruits of the Spirit is a church term that a lot of people hear about, but today we're really going to go deep into what the fruits of the Spirit are and these spiritual gifts as well, and talk about how we can really embody those and use these to glorify God. So to start off with spiritual gifts, I would love for you guys to turn to 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 12 with me. So I'm glad we passed out Bibles because you guys are gonna be there. So a little precursor to 1 Corinthians, I want to explain to you guys that this is another epistle. So I spoke about epistles last week, and these are letters from Paul. And Paul is advising people, telling them what to do, giving them advice on how to start this early church movement. And what we can tell at this point is Paul is talking about spiritual gifts. He's talking about how we can glorify God through the gifts that God has given us, but also ask the Spirit for help and empowerment to receive spiritual gifts as well. And so, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 12. I hope you guys are all there because I'm about to start reading. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given the Spirit of a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So that was a lot of talking, a lot of work, a lot of the same thing Paul is repeating over and over again. But it's because Paul is trying to drill this point into these Corinthian people, this Corinthian church. And we can read exactly what those are. I want to point out in verse 4, it speaks about how all of the gifts are from the same Spirit. So all of the gifts that you have in your life that we will continue to talk about, the Holy Spirit gives them all to you. And everyone's gifts are from that same Spirit. I also want to point out in verse 7 that it says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So everyone receives that same Spirit. But also I want to point out in verse 11, every follower is given these spiritual gifts. It says, all of these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. And then also I want to point out, he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So the Spirit gives everyone these gifts. Not the same gift, but he gives everyone gifts. We all are different in so many different ways. And so something that I want you guys to write down in your bulletins, but we're going to practice as well, is I would love just to see you guys raise your hands, and I want to go through in order of this passage, starting with verse 7, what gifts that Paul talks about. So if one of you guys can raise your hand and tell me what the first one is. Anyone? You all have your Bibles open. Yes. Wisdom. So actually, the first one that he talks about is the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Okay, can I get the next one? They're all in order. Next one is wisdom. Can we scroll? Wisdom. Okay, can you just keep scrolling through them all? Knowledge. We've got faith. We've got healing. We've got miracles. We've got prophecy. Discernment. Speaking in tongues, but also interpreting tongues. And the reason why I want all of you guys to be able to see this and write all this stuff down, and again, if you missed all of those, you all have your Bibles as well, so you can write them down. But it goes in an order. It starts with things that you might see every day. You see wisdom. You see knowledge. There are these simple things. But then it goes into things like discernment, seeing what spirits are where. It goes into speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, things that you might not be too familiar with. But the whole point is all of these gifts that the Spirit gives us, whether they're things that you see every day or things that you see once in a lifetime, maybe even hear about, these are all gifts that the Spirit gives us and the Spirit empowers us with. And Paul wants to point out to us and to this congregation in Corinth that everything you get is from God, and that it all has a use and a purpose. And actually, he speaks about that purpose in the next passage that we're going to go through, and that is Romans 12, 6 through 8. So if you guys can open up your Bibles to Romans 12, 6 through 8. Yes, we want to make sure that we're rooted in Scripture for these things too. So I would love for you guys to be able to read along with me if you have your Bibles with you so that we can know exactly what you're talking about. And while you're turning there, I also want to point out in your bulletins, there were 10 gifts that I pointed out, but there is an 11th blank, and that is because of this Romans passage, and we are going to talk about it specifically. So this passage in Romans is Paul's entire goal for it is to inspire people to live for Christ. Inspire people to live for the Lord and inspire people to become what is called a living sacrifice for the Lord. And some of you have maybe heard that term, heard that phrase being used before, but Paul is trying to encourage people to have service towards the Lord and pursue the Holy Spirit for that service. So Romans 12, 6 through 8 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. And if it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So what I want to point out right here is Paul is telling us to use these gifts. He's not just saying, like in 1 Corinthians, he pointed out, you have these gifts, and these gifts are available, and these gifts are all for the Spirit. But Romans mentions these gifts, but also gives us another insight. He says, use those gifts. If you are to teach, teach. Prophesy, prophesy. Encourage, encourage for the Lord. I want to give you guys examples of what you guys might see nowadays or something that you might embody, maybe even a gift that the Spirit might give you. But something that I love seeing, and I'm going to paraphrase in Romans terms, but if you are to laugh, laugh. Crazy, right? Laughing. But believe it or not, laughing is such a gift. Some of you guys, I know, I saw it on Houseboats. So many of you guys can like laugh until you pee, and it is the funniest thing ever. But that is a gift from God, believe it or not. It is something that is infectious. It's something that people see and people want to laugh with you. Have you ever laughed so hard that people literally look at you and they laugh, not at you, but they're like, what the heck is going on? And they just can't help but laugh. Yeah, you guys are nodding. That is a gift from God, guys. So some of you need to use that. That laughter is something that's so beautiful, and that's something that actually the Spirit has given you as a gift to help others. Another thing that some of us might take for granted, but we see it all the time, that is such a gift, the gift of hanging out. If you are to hang out, hang out. Okay, it does not sound like a gift. It's something that we almost instinctively do, especially when we're in middle school and high school. I'm always trying to hang out with my friends, shoot water balloons, do all this stuff. But it's not easy. It's not easy to go spend time with people so frequently, all the time. You see, some of us have more freedom to go spend time with others. Some of us don't. And that is a gift. And these are gifts that God wants us to use. Believe it or not, God wants you to laugh. If God made you to laugh, laugh your heart out. Because it's infectious. People see it. You can use it for the Lord. And we will continue to talk about that. If you are a pro at hang out with overflow. If you're an eighth grader, if you're a senior in high school, hang out with an eighth grader. Hang out with a sixth grader. But honestly, that is a blessing. A blessing that sometimes we take for granted. But what Paul is trying to say here is that every single gift you receive, whether it's prophesying or speaking in tongues or something, or hanging out, we are meant to use these gifts for the Lord. And so what I want to point out right here is Paul talks about ways we can use these gifts. And I want to just mention two ways, but there could be more that we actually should be using these gifts. And speaking of gifts, I think of a present. And I think God wants us to open them. Meaning if there's a gift like hang out with people. But also there are gifts that we need to explore. Thinking as a present, there are some gifts that we need to open. You need to ask the Holy Spirit, show me these gifts that I have. Show me these gifts of the Spirit. I know you guys hearing the terms tongues, interpreting and speaking tongues, it's something that's very foreign and something that's very strange and can be seen as different and weird, but you never know if God or the Spirit has empowered you with that gift until you ask, until you embrace, until you try to open up that gift that he gives you. But second, the Holy Spirit wants us to share them. Going back to the laughter example, because a lot of you guys nodded, especially when I talked about you all know that one friend that pees when they laugh so hard. But if you literally laugh by yourself, who's going to laugh with you? That gift, that infectious thing that brings everyone so much life, if you just keep it to yourself, if you laugh in your room at like memes and you say, ha. Yeah, you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. But if we're not sharing these gifts, then what are we using them for? We're using them for ourselves. And not to say that you're always selfish when you look at memes, but no, God gives us these gifts to share and to benefit others and to enrich people. Because believe it or not, when people see you smile, they see God. When people see you laugh, they see the Spirit pouring out of you to the point where it hits them. It hits them so hard that they can't help but laugh as well. Because they don't have a reason to laugh except for you were so infectious. that they can't help but feel the exact same way. So, speaking of gifts of the Spirit, we can totally go into this more, but I want to switch onto fruits of the Spirit, and I want to speak about what these fruits of the Spirit are, but also what they can do. So if you guys can turn into your Bibles to Galatians 5, 22 through 23 with me. And believe it or not, Paul wrote a lot of letters. And so Galatians is actually another epistle. Paul is writing a letter to the church of Galatia, just telling them things, giving them advice, but also he's encouraging people, saying, hey, when you live by the Holy Spirit, when you have this Spirit of God in your life, then you have so much freedom and you have so much enrichment and you are so free. And this entire section of Galatians is talking about the freedom that this Holy Spirit gives you. And so, again, Galatians 5, 22 through 23, I will start reading it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, or people know as patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So the against such things there is no law. Just so you guys know, Paul is currently within the letter talking about laws, and people are questioning, well, as Christians, what laws do we abide by? And Paul says, well, if you have the Spirit in your life, abiding by the law, it's not that the law doesn't apply to you. It's that, honestly, the Holy Spirit empowers you to just naturally follow God and follow these laws. So with the Holy Spirit, there's no need for laws. But again, doesn't mean you can break every law, guys. Different story. But I'm going to try this again. You guys have your Bibles in front of you. This is a much simpler list. Can I get people shouting out these in order? Can I get the fruits of the Spirit? Can someone say the first one?
Love.
What's the next one? Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. Repeat that in your guys' heads. The fruits of the Spirit are very important. And I want you all to write them down in your bulletins. There's a list right there. And the reason why I wanted a list to be written down is because some people learn when they write things down, some people learn by hearing it. But all I want you guys to know is these are fruits that the Spirit empowers us with. And don't forget them. They are so critical. Some of you who have been to church for your entire lives have heard of the fruit of the Spirit. And for those of you who this might be your first Sunday, first time ever stepping into a church, you can acknowledge that when seeing all these things, they're all good things. And these are the things that actually this fruit of the Spirit empowers us with. But before we go more into the fruit of the Spirit, and I give an example with this beautiful image in the back, can someone just shout out or differences between gifts and a fruit? Does anyone, you could just feel free to shout it out, but does anyone understand the difference between a gift that someone gives you and a fruit? There's no wrong answer. You can eat fruit. You can open gifts. Okay, you know what? I could just answer this question. It is okay. But basically, what I want to point out is gifts are given and received. When someone gives me a gift, I accept it. And it's something that I can take and I can enjoy and I can use, and wink, wink, I can use to share with others, just like spiritual gifts. But fruits are produced. Fruits are something that are grown. Fruits are something that are developed over time. And I want to talk about a little example about fruits. And so behind me, I have an image of a beautiful apple tree. It is a cartoon, but it is still beautiful. It's got some very red apples, some very green leaves, and some very great background as well. But basically, I want to narrate with you guys how trees work. So if I were to plant an apple tree right here on stage, what I would do is I'd watch it grow. I'd plant it in the ground. I wouldn't be able to see it, but then it would slowly start to grow. And over time, I would take care of it. I would water it. I would protect it. I would just make sure that it is growing at its best rate so that one day it can produce apples, produce fruits. But the things I want you to know about this apple tree is that something inside of it, some programming with God created something within an apple seed and then an apple tree that is programmed just to make apples. Have you ever seen a sprout of an orange tree versus an apple tree? Well, they look very similar. But for some reason, they both produce totally different fruit. They produce apples and oranges, and it doesn't cross over. They both produce their own separate thing. But also, I also want to point out when we are growing trees, if I were growing this tree right here, if someone were to walk over and start peeing on it, I'd kick him in the butt. I'd say, that's my tree and we're going to keep it safe. If someone is playing hatchet throwing in the park, I don't know who does that, but if someone has like an axe and they're just chucking it, I'm going to go over there and make sure no one touches my tree. I'm going to protect that tree with everything because I want to make sure that when it produces fruit, that that fruit is awesome, that I can eat that fruit and it can taste good. And that when I can share that fruit with my family, with my friends, with everyone in my life, it can taste really good. Because who doesn't like good fruit? Well, actually, who likes bad fruit? It's bad. You don't want bad fruit. But basically, I want to point out, next slide, that the Holy Spirit produces fruit in our lives. That's where the fruit of the Spirit comes in. So you guys can write this in your bulletins. But I want to give you another example of the Holy Spirit plants a tree in our lives, and that's called a spirit tree that everybody can see. Okay? And this spirit tree is planted in our lives, and it's not physical. You can't see my spirit tree, but it's something that in the same way I need to help grow, and I need to develop and make sure that it is bearing good fruit. I need to make sure that I'm not just sitting here and watching it grow, because if I don't water it, it will produce bad fruit. If I'm sitting over here and I really need to go pee and I'm just lazy and I just go pee on my own tree, is that the best thing ever? No, because my fruit could not taste that good. But either way, we need to be protecting this spirit tree that bears the fruits of the Spirit. And so, next slide, what I would like to talk about is how we can bear these good fruits of the Spirit. Because for those of you who have been at church before and have been in this reality, or even who have not been here, doing all of those fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, all of those, it's not easy. It's not easy just to look at someone and say, I'm going to love you. And you could just do it. Some people it is. I'm going to be patient with you. I'm going to have peace through this hard time. You guys probably know, but it's not that easy. It's pretty easy to sit there and say, like, all right, I'm waiting in line for this movie, and there's a lady up front that keeps talking and won't leave the line, but I'm going to be patient, and I'm not going to get mad, and I'm going to be joyful, but you're still sitting there panicking on the inside, no matter how many times you say it. And I want to give an example to demonstrate how the fruits of the Spirit can be seen in our lives and probably are seen. But when talking about these positive attributes of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, when you look at your best friend, it's pretty easy to show them love. You're just like, what's up? Give them a high five. Reagan knows what I'm talking about. Like, show patience with them. If they're messing with you, you're like, it's okay. I get you. I understand you. We're best friends. We're boys. It's cool. But how is it showing patience to the kid that might get on your nerves a little bit? How about the person that might be a bully on campus? How do you love them? Do you just say in your head, I'm not going to be mad. I'm not going to be mad. I'm going to show joy. I'm going to go show joy. For me, what's happened in my life is I've walked up to those people and been like, all right, I'm going to be patient with this annoying kid, and I'll just sit there and smile. But on the inside, I'm cringing. I'm like, because I'm not owning it. And this is something we're going to talk about in a minute. But what I want to tell you guys, and what I think Paul is trying to tell you guys, is he wants us to look at these people in the way that God sees them. I'll repeat that again because that's big. God wants us to look at everyone, best friends, parents, people hard to listen to, in the way that God sees them. And I have an example of this in my life. So I have a family member who we will call Tommy. But Tommy was very hard for me to deal with. Me and Tommy were not super close. Me and Tommy didn't see each other a whole lot. But every time I saw Tommy, I was like, gosh, this guy is unreal. But I was like, okay, fruits of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. I can be good to Tommy. And just like I talked about, I would go to Tommy, have the best intentions in mind, but then I'd just end up walking away and saying, I don't even need to talk to Tommy. Tommy's not cool. Tommy's not this. Tommy doesn't go to church. I could just think about every single wrong thing that Tommy's ever done. But then one day, Tommy confessed something to me. Tommy said, Chase, I'm having a really tough time. Tommy said, I see you going to church and I see this change that you've made in your life, but I can't get plugged in with the church. I don't feel connected. I feel like the kids there judge me. Little did he know that I was judging him the whole time too. But Tommy confessed to me that he was looking in so many other places for what he wanted to find, but he saw that Jesus had everything that he needed, but he just couldn't get there. He didn't feel connected. He didn't feel welcomed in. And so in that moment, I saw who Tommy was. Tommy wasn't annoying. Tommy wasn't just a kid that didn't go to church. Tommy wasn't this. Tommy was a broken person who was looking for love. Tommy was looking for someone to care about him. Tommy was looking for me. But all I did was I looked at every negative thing Tommy's ever done, and I said, Tommy sucks. But what Tommy showed me, and literally what God showed me in those moments, was Tommy needs you. You see, God came into my life and shifted my perspective. He allowed me to see Tommy in the way that he sees Tommy, not for someone who's messed up, but for someone that needs redemption, someone that needs grace, just like that grace that the Lord gives him. Long story short, Tommy and I are close now. Tommy and I, we go way back, super tight. But it took me shifting my perspective for me to see Tommy in the way that God sees Tommy as well. And so we need to be actively sharing the fruit that is inside of us. Going back to the tree analogy, we all bear fruit. Through this fruit of the Spirit, we bear love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of those things. I keep wanting to go through all of them, but I shouldn't. But we can either make those fruit great or make them not show up well. We can have the fruit taste awesome and people see this fruit and they're like, oh my gosh, Chase is so loving. I want to eat that fruit of love. It's awesome. I'm sorry. I keep going back and forth between the tree analogy, but you get what I mean. But sometimes people can walk up and try that love fruit from Chase and it tastes horrible. And they're like, dude, what's going on? He's not patient with me. It's just not working out, but it's something that's inside of us. It took me seeing Tommy for the way God saw him inside of my head in order for me to be able to share that. In order for me to truly be able to love Tommy in the way that I needed to, I needed to changed the way I thought about Tommy. And a lot of the ways that we roll through life, and the way I do, and many of us, is we just want that quick fix. And we think, okay, God, like, I'm just going to say this quick prayer, and then I'm going to be patient. Or I'm going to say this quick prayer, and then I'm going to have peace. Or I'm going to go hang out with my best friends, and oh my gosh, I was showing so much love there, so therefore I can do it over here. But it's an active process. These fruits of the Spirit that Paul talks about is something that we need to actively always be pursuing and be working on and trying to see people in the way that God sees them. So to close up, I just want to recap, because today we did talk about gifts and blessings and fruits that the Holy Spirit has given us and will continue to give us. But I want to make sure that you guys have it in your bulletins and have it in your mind. And so a recap over what we have talked about, spark notes for today, is that these gifts of the Spirit that we went over at the beginning, Everyone has gifts of the Spirit. Everyone receives these things, but we don't control what gifts we have. We're all unique in our own different ways. We all laugh in different ways. We all do crazy things in different ways. We play sports. We dance. We do art. We all have our own thing, and God made us that way and for so many great reasons. And so we don't control the gifts that we receive, but we control how we share them. And we control whether we share them or we just keep them to ourselves. Or, on another note, whether we even use those gifts. If you're an artist, but you just stop painting because you don't have time, are you using that gift that God gave you? I'm not saying everyone needs to go out and paint all the time now, but make sure that God is at the center of our ministry and the center of our lives so that what you do it for the Lord. Second, fruits of the Spirit. We do not control that we have a spirit tree. Sounds kind of tacky, but we have a tree that's bearing all of these fruits of the Spirit that are all written down in your bulletins. But we can control what we do about those. We can control how we use those fruits and whether we use those fruits. We can control how we see people and how we embody those fruits to people, what people taste when they taste those fruits, whether they're good or bad. And so we need to be actively pursuing and trying to see people in the way that God sees them so that we can continue to bear good fruits. So before we leave, I just want to challenge you guys, specifically with regards to the gifts. I want you guys to think about what gifts God has blessed you with, but think about how you can use those gifts to help others, to share them with others, and to further God's kingdom. Because God has made us all unique and given us all different gifts. And so I want you to find out which one is yours, which few are yours, what God has given you to bless others with. And second, with the fruits, I want you to be able to take a step back and from today, maybe look at and have a confession of like, shoot, I'm really good at being kind to people, but I'm really bad at being patient. Oh my gosh, my peace is off the charts. I'm so good at being peaceful. I'm the most peaceful person. People love being at peace around me, but my self-control sucks. I can't control myself. But once we acknowledge those things and you go home and acknowledge, like, maybe I need to work on my self-control, then we can start taking steps towards improving those fruits of the Spirit. And so I'm going to pray, but I'd love to invite the worship team up. And yeah, before we go and I pray, I would just love to challenge you guys to seek the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit wants you to do with your life, with your gifts, with these fruits. Because he has a plan for you, and he has a reason behind these things that you are doing and these things that you have in your life. And so I want you to find out what those are. All right, pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you so much for just allowing me to speak on this Sunday afternoon. I pray that you just allow the students this week to walk away thinking more about you, thinking more about your Spirit, and thinking more about the gifts and the blessings and the fruits that you have put in our lives and the reasons behind that. Lord, I pray that you allow us to just go home and use these gifts that you've given us to glorify you every single day of our lives. We love you so much, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.